You know, everywhere you turn, there is sexual immorality all around you. But can I tell you, it's not what ultimately satisfies, and God's ways are going to triumph in the end.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I remember hearing about this a few years back. There was a survey done. I mean, this is some time back. I heard about it through a ministry like Focus on the Family or something. But a survey was done by a major ladies magazine, whether it was Good Housekeeping or Red Book, I'm not sure the name. And it was a survey on sexual satisfaction. And to the shock of many people involved in the survey, the women who were happily married and faithful to their spouses reported a much higher level of sexual satisfaction than the women who were sleeping with everybody, the women who were just out doing their thing and adventurous and so on and so forth. And it reminded us once again that God's ways are ways of life. And that the ways of the world and the ways of the flesh, as pleasurable as they may be for a moment, bring long-time, lasting pain. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. It is Wednesday. We often focus on worldview issues. Last night, I was teaching a class, the last class in the series on holiness, to our first and second-year students at Fire School of Ministry, and was reminding them that holiness is beautiful and that sin is destructive. And that in every area of life, if we indulge the flesh, we end up regretting it. In every area of life, when we yield to God, we end up rejoicing that we've done it. I want to hear from you as well. I want to lay out a bunch of things. I want to talk to you about some new programming that's going to be coming on TV and other places. And I want to explain why I believe that ultimately sexual purity is going to trump sexual anarchy. Why I believe ultimately that sexual purity, that honoring God, that living in accordance with his principles, the world says we're backwards, the world says we're depriving ourselves, the world says we don't know what we're missing. Well, many of us been there and done that. I indulged, especially in drugs, before I was saved, and there was a lot of pleasure in it and a lot of highs, but ultimately it bites. Some of you indulge yourselves with alcohol. Some of you indulge yourselves with all types of immorality and other things. And even though there may have been that temporary pleasure, in the end, the results were disastrous. Along the way in the broadcast today, I want to give you some practical thoughts that will help you as well. Be an overcomer. Live a holy life. Live a life of purity. Not indulge the flesh. And a number to call if you'd like to interact, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've got a political question I want to ask as well a little bit later. Just something I'm watching with some degree of fascination having to do with Hillary Clinton and the mainstream media. So I'm going to throw out that question for you to respond to. Maybe we come back. The number, as always, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And right after the broadcast today, I am scheduled to fly to Tampa, Florida, then drive almost an hour over to Lakeland, where I'll be participating in the Society of Pentecostal Studies annual conference. We had sought to set up a debate on cessationism, the gifts of the Spirit, are they still for today, to debate the content of my book, Authentic Fire, against Pastor MacArthur's book, Strange Fire. So he was invited by this academic society, but we got no response from Pastor MacArthur. Tried to find others to debate me on the issue. Couldn't find anyone, actually. So instead, we'll be doing a panel discussion where folks will be weighing in on my book, Authentic Fire, and then I'll be interacting with their constructive and critical thoughts as well. So we'll be broadcasting from Tampa or Lakeland, Florida, later in the week. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. I've got a question for you when we come back. Then I want to talk to you about the effect that pornography is having on people's sex lives.
want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here's a report from Good Housekeeping by Megan Friedman. I don't see a date on this online, but lo and behold, being married makes people happier. This is especially true when times are tough. As the old saying goes, happy wife, happy life. What happens if you and your husband fall in some hard times? According to a new study, getting married makes people more satisfied with life no matter what comes their way. Is anybody surprised to hear that? Does that cause your jaw to drop? No. Well, it makes sense. It's what God established. It's what God set up. Just like if you get a car and the car tells you, the manual tells you, this is the kind of oil you need to use when you change the oil. This is how often you need to change the oil. This is the gas to put in the car. You need this level gas because it's a certain kind of car. And when you put in the right products and maintain it properly, it runs better than when you don't maintain it properly. It's the same with the human body. It's the same with human society. God did not set up arbitrary laws to torment us. He didn't set up arbitrary laws so that doing things his way was misery. Doing things his way caused everything to malfunction. Doing things his way caused societies to fall apart. No, there's a reason, friends, that it's written in Proverbs 14 that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's the way it works. 866-34-TRUTH. So I spotted an article the other day. I wasn't surprised at all to see this headline. It was, I mean, you would have known it even without reading the article whatsoever. But it said that it asked the question, is porn making young people worse at sex? The answer is yes. It is. And here's a psychotherapist who has a documentary on sex advice. From what I can tell, this is not coming from some deeply biblical Christian perspective. It's simply saying that when you do things the wrong way, when there is this bombardment of pornography, when there is this culture of sexual anarchy, when it's a situation where virtually anything goes. I'll tell you about this a little bit later in the broadcast, but there's a new reality TV show that's going to be coming on that features swinging couples, which means couples raising a family, but they are willfully promiscuous, that the husband sleeps around with different people, the wife sleeps around with different people. It's part of what they do, and it's just, hey, they're good-looking, regular people and just regular families and suburbs and whatever, and this is reality. I guarantee you, you track their lives over a 10 or 20-year period, and you track the lives of those who are faithful in marriage, and those who are faithful will have a more satisfied life, a more blessed life, a more sexually satisfied life. And the others will have all kinds of deterioration, and it'll ultimately hurt the kids. You give it enough time, it is inevitable. The article that I was citing mentions psychotherapist Philippa Perry. It was Daily Mail, Sam Creighton. Sex advice was a lot more simple in the 80s, says psychotherapist Philippa Perry in the BBC4 documentary Sex Lives and Love Bites. The current generation of young people is the most confused about sex ever because of pornography, according to a psychotherapist. She claims that easy access to explicit videos and images has left many young people unable to have normal and healthy relationships. But of course, what else would we expect? What else would we expect from an immoral culture? You sow to the flesh you reap destruction. Paul wrote that in Galatians 6. You sow to the spirit you reap everlasting life. Here, look at it just with something as simple as food. there are foods that my flesh would crave. Well, in the past, craved, and I gave into the cravings. By God's grace, now I have a totally different lifestyle and healthier than I've ever been because of it. But here, let's just say you get yourself a pint of Ben & Jerry's New York Super Fudge Chocolate. If I was going to indulge, that would be a very heavy indulgence in the past. And I'd normally get it, and I'd eat half, and then a little bit later in the night, eat the other half. Yeah, so you eat the whole pint, maybe 1,100 calories or something, just for that. It was decadently enjoyable, but it did not do my body any good. And over a period of time, eating enough of that is deadly. Eating enough of that is gonna hurt your health. You eat foods like that day and night, you're going to hurt your health. And then ultimately, you don't enjoy them that much. Ultimately, they don't really satisfy. Ultimately, the risk is far greater than the reward. That's how it is with everything in life, friends. I want to remind you of that. God's ways are ways of life. That's why he told the children of Israel, choose life, that you and your children may live. God's ways are ways of life. The ways of the world, the ways of the flesh, the ways of indulgence, the ways of, hey, I'm just going to do what my body feels like doing, that brings death. How often? Ultimately, 100 times out of 100. 866-34-CHOOSE. So I've got a question along these lines, and I want to just put out another question and come back to it in a little while, all right? Oh, yeah, I'm looking at this other headline. Madonna's daughter is horrified by 56-year-old mom's sexual songs. That's according to Madonna. Her daughter, who's 18, just wishes her mom would just be a mom and would focus more on that than on her sex-soaked stage performances. That's Madonna's word, that she's, quote, horrified by her antics and wants her, quote, to be her mom. Is that a surprise? The actress who unfortunately starred in that 50 Shades of Grey movie. And what I know about it is the little bit I've read, just like hopefully you and no more, a little bit I've read about it, is that she wouldn't want her family seeing that movie. She wouldn't want friends that, you know, her family friends that grew up with her, you know, guys seeing that movie. You should be proud of your work. You should say, everybody, watch this. If what you're doing is good, you bring it into the light for the whole world to see. Here's some gal that gets famous, maybe somebody else, through some sex scenes or sex tape. Hey, what happens when your kids grow up? That's mom. That's mom on that tape. What happens when you're old enough to have grandkids? That's grandma. Come on. Who's going to be proud of that unless you've lost all sense of morality and bearing? So I want to give you this question. Did you indulge the flesh before you were saved? Were you promiscuous? Were you immoral? Were you adulterous? Or maybe as a believer, you had a difficult stretch and were messing with sin and then came back in faith to the Lord. Was it worth it? What did you learn from living like that? What can you tell young people listening? What can you tell others listening who, boy, it looks so good on the screen and these actors and actresses and look at how beautiful this one is and how handsome that one is, and they're doing whatever in the world they want to do, and it pulls. It pulls. And when you said, hey, been there, done that, it doesn't deliver. Been there, done that. It ends up biting. Maybe you want to call anonymously and don't want to say what your name is or where you're from, but you contracted sexually transmitted diseases through living an ungodly lifestyle, and you want to give a word of warning. If you've been there, if you've done that, I'd love to hear from you today, 866-34-TRUTH. And again, anything that's not part of your public testimony that you don't want others to know, do it anonymously. That's one nice thing about talk radio. All right, before I go to the phones, I also want to put out one other question. It's totally unrelated. It's 100% unrelated, but I've been wondering about it. This is my time where I get to get some feedback. Maybe I'll post it on social media later as well. But here's my question. Generally speaking, the conservative media attacks the Democrats and the liberals, and the mainstream media attacks the Republicans and the conservatives, generally speaking. So generally speaking, when President Bush was in office, he was getting attacked day and night by the mainstream media. President Obama is defended by that media. When Now that President Obama's in office, he gets attacked day and night from the conservative media and gets defended by the mainstream or the liberal media, right? I mean, generally speaking. Why is Hillary Clinton, arch-liberal, arch-Democrat, getting so heavily attacked by the mainstream media, by the ones that you would normally be expecting to just be attacking the Republican candidates or a Republican president or a conservative? She's getting attacked by the mainstream media. Now, is it simply because there are a lot of Democrats unhappy with her? Is it because there's a power struggle and people upset with the Clintons? I'm just wondering. It's completely unrelated. We'll get to that a little later. I'm just wondering. All right, back with your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. If you've got a word of warning, a word of caution, share it with our listeners. God's ways are everlastingly good. The ways of the flesh, everlastingly bad.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. This new series coming out, it's a swing state meets suburban Ohio's neighbors with benefits. This was posted at NewYorkPost.com February 11th by Andrea Morabito. They've got the white picket fence, the 2.5 kids, and a swinging sex life. A&E is turning the camera on married couples in an unnamed Ohio suburb living the swinger lifestyle in a new reality series, Neighbors with Benefits, premiering March 22nd at 10 p.m. Producers estimate that there are upwards of 15 million swingers in America. And the show's nine-hour-long episodes follow several such couples in their 30s, most of them with kids, as they engage in extramarital relationships while going about their normal lives as professionals and soccer moms. They're attractive people. This isn't your ponytail, the earring guy that you'd picture being a part of swingers, executive producer Aaron Rothman tells The Post. They look and feel like they're your neighbors. Their kids are playing with your kids. Hey, everybody's doing 15 million swingers. That means couples having affairs, relationships, one-night stands, whatever, outside of wedlock. And this is reality TV, adultery being celebrated. Hey, anything goes, friends. It's the culture of sexual anarchy. I guarantee you, you track those families over a 10, 20-year period, and you track those that are faithful in their marriages, and the differences will be dramatic. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Manhattan. Jack, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you very much. I'm calling because I was one of those people who did it all, so to speak. You know what I mean? I participated in all that sexual promiscuity. And the only thing it did for me was, after living for 41 years, I almost killed myself. That's the happiness that bought me. I almost killed myself. Through the grace of God, I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And since then, since I've been single, I have lived a celibate lifestyle. I've never been happier in my life.
Mm.
And I'm living proof that the other way doesn't work. I have good news, too, however, Dr. Brown. I have witnessed to younger people, and a lot of them are sick of this life. They don't want the freedom. They want the boundaries. And I'm not even talking about Christian young people, even young people that aren't Christian,
yeah.
Which is a very good sign. It's sort of like if you give them this kind of freedom, they don't exactly want it. It's amazing. They realize they've seen the damage it's done. I also wanted to share with you some more good proof. I actually put out a couple of messages like pornography, the sin of the eyes. I personally believe it's a tool of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's used to destroy people. And I believe there's actually a lot of demonic power behind it. So I just thought I'd share some comments that I hope would be uplifting and encouraging, sir.
Oh, every word you said is uplifting, encouraging on every level, and full of truth. Jack, when you were living that way before you knew the Lord, was it just going from one thing to another that never satisfied, that never delivered? Was it you ended up doing things you never thought you'd do? What was some of the downside to this?
Well, it was all downside. Yeah, really. Yeah. Straightforward. Yeah, it had its moments of gratification, like you've described. But the fact of the matter is, every single time I did it, there was emptiness.
Yeah.
And I actually believe there's a... This may sound a little strange, but I think there's, like, you lose something every time one participates in something in terms of sex outside of man and woman in marriage. Mm. Let me give my reason. You have two fraction people. Fractions, when they're multiplied, they become more fractioned. Whereas when two whole people have sexual activity, like man and woman in marriage, which is the way it's supposed to be, now, this is my own thought. If you think I'm off, please feel free to correct me. When two whole people have marriage, it actually is a very fulfilling situation.
Yeah, you know, Jack, I remember talking to friends after we had gotten saved, and they were talking about having a relationship outside of marriage and how different that was from then being married and having that same sexual act, the fulfillment, the union that came with it, the deeper bonding versus a sense of emptiness that they had. And it may not be there immediately, but look, how many girls, you know, they want to show they're grown up and they have, you know, their first sexual encounter, then they feel used afterwards. Or a guy, you know, it just becomes an animal thing and it's not even relational. Whatever it is, the downside is massive sooner or later. And what you say about young people, absolutely, that the lack of boundaries, it's just like parents that don't discipline their kid. The kid can do whatever he wants, but ultimately there's a sense they want boundaries and discipline. That's another reason I believe that we're going to see sexual purity trump sexual anarchy in this coming generation. Jack, thank you so much for the call and for his work in your life here, celibate and happier than he's ever been. 866-34-TRUTH. Friends, get on the line right now. I'm going to keep taking calls into the next half hour. So if you miss any part of the broadcast, you can listen later, catch all these great calls just by going to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Go there. You can listen to the whole show later or keep listening live online if you get out of range for our great stations that we're on. By the way, when you're there, make sure you check out the special resource offer, a real eye-opener about ISIS, radical Islam, why it matters to us in America, and a great package that we put together. You can find out more at the website, askdrbrown.org. Let's go to Jeff in Chelsea, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks, Mike. Now, as far as sexual purity is concerned, a good barometer to see how sexually pure a society is our politicians. Because when you're in fornication, adultery, and even worse than that, you lose your discernment. You get spiritually dull if you're not saved and fornicating. You get duller and duller. And pretty much, you wind up voting in a reprobate like Bill Clinton. I mean, look, when Bill Clinton had the scandal with Monica Lewinsky, a lot of people in Massachusetts didn't care. They actually thought it was kind of cool, Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Forget about the fact he was he sold us out to China. Forget about that. It's cool, Clinton and Lewinsky. And you see, the leaders get worse and worse and worse because you see what people do in the bedroom reflects on the voting pattern. It's eat, drink, and be merry, and we will die the next day. It's just that simple.
Yeah, you know, for sure, our political leaders are all going to tell us that they will give us a better life, right? A chicken in every pot. Naturally, every politician is going to say, I'm going to improve the economy. I'm going to improve the standard of living. I'm going to get you all kinds of new benefits. I'm going to increase our national security. Of course, we're not going to elect them unless they're telling us that. But we can often be so carnal in our thinking, so myopic, and just focused on, you know, my life and improving my life that we're not thinking what is best for our nation as a whole. And yeah, immoral thinking, we're going to invite, elect immoral people.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Look, it's not just some old religious adage that sin doesn't pay. It's not just some old-fashioned preacher trying to scare you with talk about you're going to burn, turn or burn. God's ways are ways of life. God's wisdom leads to life. Here, take 10,000 people. They live by the wisdom principles of the book of Proverbs. They live by the work ethic of the book of Proverbs. They live by the sexual ethic of the book of Proverbs. They live by the conversation ethic of the line of the book of Proverbs, and on, whatever is laid out there, the relational wisdom that's laid out. They live by this, and then you take 10,000 other people who throw it out, who scorn it. You will see overall that the first 10,000 live longer, healthier, happier lives. Now, there may be persecution. If we bring the gospel, the rest of it in, there may be persecution, hardship, and maybe even martyrdom in this world. But I'm just talking about principles of life. I guarantee you, you take 10,000 people, happily married, devoted to each other in marriage, with a healthy sexual life, and above all, a healthy relationship, best friends, co-workers, right? You take them, and you take 10,000 people who are promiscuous and who are just being with whoever in the world they want to be with sexually, I guarantee you the first category is going to have a much happier, much more whole, much more enjoyable life, and will even be more satisfied sexually. It's just the way it works. It's the way God made it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to East Brunswick, New Jersey. Noel, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. I guess my message is for the young women or young girls in high school and college who are, excuse the cliche, looking for love in all the wrong places. Mm-hmm. I grew up without a dad or any positive role in a male figure. And I was born in the early 70s, loved the 60s and 70s drug and free love culture and the music and the lifestyle, even though I wasn't technically an adult or young adult in that. I was impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt, well, at that time, although I grew up in a church, I didn't have that relationship with Christ. And I believe that women in that age that don't have much self-esteem, it's related to and congruent with their lack of relationship with the Lord, and that our identity found in Christ, when we have that, you know, we're not looking to be approved of or loved mm-hmm. by somebody who finds us attractive for the way we look on the outside and not on the inside. And my teens through my early 20s, I was living the lie, and I didn't find any meaning, any satisfaction in the lifestyle. Sexual satisfaction wasn't there at all. The only satisfaction was, oh, this person finds me attractive, they like me.
Yep.
And when I think about the unwanted potential consequences of being raped, being left for dead, having STDs, or an unwanted pregnancy, men that I was with, they would not have stepped up to the responsibilities that
yep.
would have brought on.
And so, you could also be very young and way, way too young to have a kid and be able to raise a kid, and then you could have someone, as you said, just walk away from you, or STD, or rape, or something else. Whereas if you know who you are in Jesus and you know his affirmation, you don't have to strip down half naked to have some guy look at you to have value. And you don't have to give yourself to any guy who wants to pick you up to have value. You're 100% right. And thankfully, you've learned that lesson. May other young people, young ladies listening, hear what Noel has said. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, if we had time to hear from even more callers, and we will, we'll get to more calls now, but if we had time to hear from hundreds or thousands of callers, we'd hear similar stories, we'd hear similar reports. Look, if you've been there and done that, you can speak to someone who's never been there and never done that. If you lived out what people are talking about, here you go to some amusement park and there's supposedly this really amazing new roller coaster, and you've been on hundreds of roller coasters, and you go there and you stand online, you ride, it's like, eh, no big deal. And then 20 people come off, it's like, eh, no big deal. All right, that's probably, if person after person is telling you the same thing, you want to get something from that. Some new restaurant opens up and they're saying this is the best steak in the city, or this is the best pasta, whatever the thing is. And a bunch of your friends go to that are real restaurant connoisseurs, and they've always been good with their recommendations. They come back and they say, yeah, nothing special about it, one after another. It's like, okay, you can still go and find out for yourself, but you may come to the same conclusion. When people who live the promiscuous life, when people who were, oh, they were the hot ones and they were the exciting ones and they were the ones that everybody envied, when they tell you, yeah, I was empty, there was some gratification, but let me tell you, it was more pain than anything else, and it was destructive. And when I came to know the Lord and found out what He intended for the human body and human relationships, my life has been infinitely better. That brings some street cred with it, as we say. 866-34-TRUTH. And my simple point today is that sexual purity trumps sexual anarchy. It'll be a whole chapter in my new book on outlasting the gay revolution that'll be coming out later this year. Can't wait to get that into your hands later this year. But that's one of the points that's made, that gay activism is just part of the larger sexual anarchy of our society, the larger sexual revolution, which is self-destructive, which cannot succeed long term and over the long haul. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Dev in Fort Washington, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, sir.
Okay. A quick few points that I had. I used to work for a place called Vision Quest, and they had a boy camp and a girl camp. And what it is, Vision Quest was a place they sent the kids before they send you to jail to try to give you another opportunity. And one of the things we used to do with the young girls was we'd have them all stand in a circle, about 10 of them, and we'd open a candy bar and take the wrapper off and hand the candy bar to each one of them and tell the last person to eat it. And the last person would say, no, we don't want to eat it. And I'd say, why? Because everybody touched it. I said, that's, there you go. No man is going to want to be with you if everybody's done touched you. Save yourself. It's pure. Stay pure. Save yourself. Now, these young kids have a lot with, you know, a girl who's dressing like Nicki Minaj or Beyonce and everything. So they have a lot to, you know, to contend against. But one thing that I personally went through was the demons. The demons after having sex with somebody. Going to go...
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the demons?
Like, you're sitting around. I don't know if anybody who's listening ever sat down, go get an AIDS test, and while you're sitting waiting for your results. And you're thinking, oh, what's going to happen? If I do have it, what's going to happen now? Or later on, after you have sex with somebody, and as soon as you release, you come back to reality of, you know, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? And then I think in the Bible somewhere it says you take on the spirit, the other person's spirit, because it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about joining. Let's say you belong to Jesus, you're a member of Christ, and now you join yourself to a prostitute. You become one flesh with that person. So how can you do that? But, you know, Dev, what you're saying is so powerful. I've seen that same illustration with a can of soda. And I've also seen it where some of the people are sneezing and coughing. You know, they're sick, and they take a sip, and then they pass it around. You want it. We wouldn't do that, even if we're thirsty, with a can of soda. And yet people are doing that with their bodies. And when you're in a healthy relationship, a blessed relationship, a husband and wife together, and there's that intimacy that takes place, it brings intimacy. It doesn't bring the disappointment. There are no demons that follow it, because it's the way that God ordained it to be. And I know people can come under deception. They can be in adultery.
Yeah.
But it's going to come back and bite. They can be in a committed homosexual relationship. It's still going to come back and bite because it's not what God ordained.
Yeah, there's a consequence for sin. And there's a greater consequence for the sin of the body. It says that the sexual sin is a sin at your body.
Yes, sir.
And you wonder why things ain't working, or you got heart palpitations, or things ain't growing the way they're supposed to, and you end up with cancer, and you wonder why you have these things. But better yet, one point that I went through that I found myself acting out like somebody else that wasn't me, all because I had sex with that person. Mm. But when I got saved, I remember one time coming home trying to wash off what I've done, because it just felt like worms all over me.
Wow.
Just trying to wash it off. But the only thing, I went to church, I kept going to church, and then finally I had a release. I had a release, and it felt like a weight off my back. I'm married now.
And you were clean. When Jesus washed you were finally clean. No more worms all over it, to use your words. Dev, God is faithful. Thanks, man, for sharing that. Please, young people, older people, hear these words. If we had all day, we could get calls all day, and you'd hear the same thing. God's ways are ways of life. God's ways bring blessing. The ways of the flesh are destructive. Dev, thank you for that call. By the way, Maryland, coming your way. I'll be speaking in Silver Spring, Maryland, at a special Messianic Jewish conference Friday night, Saturday morning, March 20th, 21st. The conference runs the whole weekend, but please join me if you're listening anywhere in Maryland. But thank you, sir, for that call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York. Eve, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Hello,
you're welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, I just want to give a warning to, I'm a widow, and I just want to give a warning to women who lose their husbands. There are men out there who are like sheep and wolves in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my 50s, and I've been a widow going on 11 years. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Muslim. And my husband died, and I have only been with one man, and that was my husband after he died. I was with no one else because I have a child, and I was busy raising her. This man knew that I was in that particular situation, and he acted like a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And caught me off guard when I was alone. And now has me, like, in bondage. It's, like, unbelievable. Like, almost blackmail. I'm so ashamed. I'm so hurt and devastated that he took something away, and I begged him, please don't take this away from me. Because I believe in God, and God, you know, you must not do anything with out being married, and he knows that, but he still abandoned.
Yeah, and Eve, you are there. There are predators out there, without question. And if you know a guy's attracted to you, thinks he can get something out of you, he can be real sweet, be real nice, be real devious. So you have to obviously always see it's a genuine relationship, and certainly as a Muslim, you have high moral standards. I appreciate that. I'm so glad that you listen to this broadcast, which is obviously not an Islamic broadcast. I'm so glad that you are listening, Eve. And I want to call on my Christian friends to pray for Eve, to pray that God would deliver her from this situation. And Eve, I know you believe that Jesus was a great prophet. You might be surprised as to what happens if you call out on his name for help. I know that's different than what you've been taught. But you might be surprised as to what happens if you call out to Jesus for help. But Eve, thank you for the call. Thank you for the warning. And others listening, please pray for Eve. As Christians, pray that God would touch her. God often appears, speaks to Muslims in dreams, and Jesus reveals himself in dreams. So why not for Eve. Thank you, though. Thank you so much for listening and sharing that warning. And we're praying that God would really work in your life. Don't forget, Jesus is there to help. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, we just got a few seconds before the break. Yeah, look at this. Gay-straight alliances are now mandatory in Alberta, Canada. Mandatory in all in Alberta schools. Wow, wow, wow. Mandatory. Do you understand what this means? Do you understand what this means? We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, talking about sexual purity trumping sexual anarchy. Please listen if you're a younger person listening, and or maybe you're just struggling, you're under temptation, and you're boy, if you could just have a way out, or just, boy, that porn is so appealing, or it's going to bite you. It's going to bite you. Ultimately, it won't satisfy. In my book, Go and Sin No More, I give 20 reasons not to sin. Number one, sin doesn't satisfy. Number two, sin leads to more sin. Number three, sin leads to worse sins. Number four, sin enslaves. You end up being a slave. You end up doing things you never would have thought of doing. You end up looking at things you never would have thought of looking at. And you end up being a slave to it. And ultimately, instead of getting you, let's say your average life was a 5, and now you do this thing, and this thing that's wrong, that's sinful, and it's exciting, and it's amazing, and now your life, it shoots up for that moment to an 8 or a 9. Give it time, and it's going to be a 1 or a 2, and you're going to need to keep doing that ugly thing for it to get up to a 2. In other words, it's going to bring you in a downward spiral. It's just the way it works. God's ways bring life and genuine satisfaction. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Bob in Hyattsville, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, sir. How are you today?
Doing very well, thanks.
That's good. I'll try not to go into my life story. I'll keep it as brief as I can. I would like to start now. I really truly do believe that marriage is a gift from God, if we are believers and we do approach it that way. I personally have not had that happen with me yet. But to go back, it's actually with me living the lifestyle of, I call it semi-promiscuous, because for some reason I think that promiscuity would be like all day and all night all the time, but maybe it would probably fit in that area. But it was a combination of two things. I'd fallen in love very young, which might not be very young now. As far as I know, it was love. And my heart was terribly broken, and I didn't want to go through that again, you know. But at the same time, I saw so many beautiful girls, and I wanted to live that lifestyle. Consequently, that's what happened. Got was involved in music later. That, you know, that kind of, you know, helps perpetuate that, you know, whether mm-hmm. you're looking in that direction or not. But you know, I thought I had actually grown up, really, because I was being honest. You know, I wasn't hiding a girlfriend or a wife or something like that. I thought that that was maturity. And, of course, I didn't realize maybe they may be being honest. But, you know, a couple of death threats here and there and whatnot. But anyhow, long story short, I started realizing and being afraid of getting emotionally involved. You know, and when you're traveling a lot, that kind of makes it easier in a way. You know, it keeps you away from yourself even more because, well, got to go now. Gotta move on.
So yeah, just to jump in. So the fruit of that, though, the fruit of the open doors, the fruit of the lack of long-term relationship does not bring blessing or joy or satisfaction or anything that you can build a life on, does it?
It's temporarily. I mean, it's like it's because then you go on to the next. You know, it's like
yep.
This was one of the things that was keeping me, actually, it's the old term, wine, women, and song. I mean, that was keeping my me going in a way. It was one of, you know, I never thought of any of it as addiction. I thought, well, this is the price you pay, but Right. I have to enjoy this or I can't do it. And I fell into, I don't say I the total picture of what the stereotype
right.
would be, but at the same time, close. And but then I started thinking, you know, after, okay, jumping ahead, got, you know, certain things happened in my life through the years I didn't know.
Yeah, and time is short, so I need you to jump right ahead.
Okay, when God saved me, I did not jump out of that lifestyle right away. But after about, I don't know, maybe it was 2 years, I was dating with somebody in a situation and listening to a loud Petra album, and all of a sudden I thought, something's wrong. This picture, you know, it just suddenly hit me that this was not right. And
just got to jump in. You know what's amazing, though, Bob? I know there's more to the story, but time is real short. That God was that patient over a two-year period is mind-boggling. That here he's working in your heart to bring you to himself, and you're still living in sin like this and still, quote, not getting it. That's a whole other question as to why something like that could happen. Obviously, if there's a deeper salvation or experience in God or a bit of grounding in the Word, we'd learn that more quickly. But yes, something profoundly missing and wrong. When you wake up to reality, you realize, God's ways. God's ways bring life. Let me grab one more call in Fall River, Massachusetts. Tyler, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, I just want to thank you for taking my call.
You're Hello? Welcome, sir. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yes, a little choppy, sorry. I listen to the radio station a lot, and this is just one conversation that I wanted to kind of jump in on. I'm going to be very brief. I mean, I'm young. I got saved 3 years ago at 17, and I grew up with, I never had a father. My mother was a drug addict. She's still fighting an addiction right now.
Oh,
and never really had purpose, and never really got into relationships, but I found there was a void. And I know now that Jesus Christ fills that void, but I mean, there's just so much power and influence in this culture that, you know, I went to drugs and to alcohol, but I never went to immoral relationships. I was drowning myself. Now that I know that I'm a Christian, I know that I was drowning myself in pornography, and there's a powerful, powerful demonic spirit and stronghold to that. But I just want to say, you know, now I'm 21, and I just got married a couple of months ago, and it's just
awesome.
Completely mind-boggling to me what God can do in a person who would just give their lives completely to him. And it's just, I don't really have much to say. There's credible testimonies that I've been hearing, but I mean, just, you know, to give a shout-out to any younger people that are struggling, kind of questioning whether to turn to Christ. It's the only answer. This generation just completely veiled and completely blindsided. It's disgusting to me now to see it as a believer, but I just thank God every day that I have what I have in him, and there's no other life to live. There's no other relationship to have but with a woman that you give your life to, and it's absolutely incredible this what God does in that and the blessing that flows. I just wanted to mention that. Hopefully I'm encouraging somebody.
No, Tyler, I'm sitting here smiling broadly to hear from you with your background. And now as a young man, happily married, let this be shouted out across the country that people hear the words that you are speaking. And obviously, you're your mom's lifeline right now. Through your life and being rightly connected with God, your wife, you can really help pray her into a place of freedom and liberty. Hey, Tyler, do you have my book, Go and Sin No More?
I don't know.
All right, stay right there. I want to send it to you as a gift. But thanks for sharing that story with us, Tyler. God bless you and your family. Friends, God's ways are ways of life. Sin doesn't pay. Listen to the testimony of these many, many callers today. And then take advantage of the great resources on our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. We have thousands of hours of free resources there waiting for you. So take advantage of them. Search in words you're looking for. Take advantage of the resources and stand with us with your help. We are listener sponsored. My bottom line today, sexual sin will devour you. It will promise you everything and in the end, take everything from you. You know, everywhere you turn, there is sexual immorality all around you. But can I tell you, it's not what ultimately satisfies, and God's ways are going to triumph in the end.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One of my friends does a lot of family counseling, relational counseling in particular, couples. And he told me that he, in recent years, ran into something increasingly, which is couples in their 20s. So they're either married or living together. Couples in their 20s who have sexless relationships. They are married or they are living together, and they don't have sexual relations, and they're in their 20s. Why? Because they got so burnt out on pornography. They got so burnt out on sexual promiscuity as teenagers and young people that they lost their interest in sex. I just spent an hour on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here. Delighted to be with you in the second hour of broadcasting. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I just spent an hour talking to people on the phones. Once we opened the phone lines, we were flooded with callers who wanted to share their story, who wanted to share their testimony, who wanted to say, I was there. I did that. I gave myself to the flesh. I had all these relationships. I slept around. I did this. I did that. I was into pornography, and it wasn't worth it. It stung. It was wrong. It was destructive. Some of them extremely articulate in what they were saying. And now coming to the Lord, either as celibate people or as married people, never have been happier. Never have been more fulfilled. I am here today to burst the bubble of that lie that comes pouring through the media every day, to burst the bubble of the lie of the latest TV show or movie, to burst the bubble of that lie of that magazine cover that tells you if you just indulge yourself, if you just have all the sexual relations you want, if you're not so hung up with this impossible monogamy of men with women for just one couple for life, if you're not so hung up on these old-fashioned ways, then you can really live. I'm here to burst that bubble and say it's a lie. I'm here to burst that bubble and say that ultimate satisfaction comes in doing things God's way, that ultimate satisfaction comes in taking on the ways of God, which are ways of life. So I want to open the phone lines again, 866-34-TRUTH. The testimonies were so powerful. The last one right before the break was a young man, 21 years old, newly married, is thrilled beyond words. He didn't have a father when he grew up. His mother was a drug addict, still struggling with drug addiction. He didn't get involved in immoral relationships, but drowned himself in drugs and pornography and saw the other futility of it. He's just thrilled and can hardly put in words what it's like to know the Lord and now be happily married. If you've been there and done that, maybe you don't want to give your name. Maybe you contracted a sexually transmitted disease. Maybe you did what you wanted, indulged the flesh, and you were the popular one, and everybody wanted to be with you, and you're here to say, hey, it was empty, it was destructive, it was ultimately anything but life, and now living God's way as a believer in godly relationships, this is the path of life. We need to shout this from the rooftops, and this broadcast, The Line of Fire, is exactly the place we'll do it, as, by God's grace, I serve as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And as you call in, your voice is amplified to speak to the nation and even the world. 866-34-TRUTH. Got some fascinating information to share with you today, along with your calls.
Hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's a principle that I discovered in the Word many, many years ago, and of course many have seen the same principle in the Word, which is God's wisdom looks at the long-term end results, whereas the flesh, the world says, do it now. You only got one life. Do it now. Get all the gusto you can. Enjoy yourself now. Indulge yourself now. Don't think about the consequences. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about the after effects. That's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of God is look at the long-term effects. Look at the long-term results. This may taste good now, but it's going to bite later. This may feel good now, but it's going to bite later. Later may be a day. Later may be a month. Later may be a year. Have you ever seen these commercials on TV where you've got some terribly disfigured person that can barely talk, and you see pictures of them when they were young, and why are they in the condition that they're in? They were heavy smokers for years. Or here's someone crippled with brain damage, and they're in rehab, and it's painful to even watch them try to function or speak. And what's their message? I was texting while I was driving. The message is always think about the consequences. Think about what comes after. Think about the final effects. Proverbs 23, that wine may look so good glistening in the cup, but you indulge yourself with it. Afterwards, you're bitten. Either the folly of drunkenness or some crash while driving in your car, driving while intoxicated, or a long-term addiction, or the breaking up of a relationship and losing your family and you end up in the gutter, or cirrhosis of the liver, doesn't pay. It's the same thing with sexual sin. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a testimony, if you can warn others, by all means, do so. 866-34-TRUTH. And if you want to call in anonymously, you would rather not say your name, even location, that's fine. Because what you may say may not be part of a public testimony, but people need to hear it. Look. One caller, a woman, called in and talked about being born in the early 70s, so in the immediate aftermath of the sexual revolution, which continues to cause the unraveling of so much of our society and relationship today. And she was saying the pressure that was on her, you know, to look a certain way. She didn't have good self-esteem. Now she knows who she is in the Lord, so she has a sense of security in the Lord. She didn't have that before. So what do? Well, you got to look a certain way so guys are attracted to you. And then some guy's interested in you, you got to give him what he wants. You may end up getting raped, and that's not what you planned. Who would plan on being raped? You may end up with a pregnancy where the man walks away, and you're way too young to be having a baby or raising a family. And you didn't plan on that. Or you end up with a sexually transmitted disease. But there's the pressure of the moment when you're secure, when you know who you are, you don't have to dress like a tramp. And if you're a guy, you realize that you being hot is not what makes you important or defines who you are or gives you value. And that there's an esteem. If you're going to have a lasting relationship with someone, there's an esteem for that person. They're not just a piece of meat. There's a relationship that's built. There's a giving of yourself to someone in a long-term relationship. And those who do that are happy. I'm sure if I said, okay, you've been married 30 years or more, and you're happily married, and you're sexually satisfied, and you're blessed, we'd get people calling left and right. And if I said, okay, you're sleeping around with whoever you want, you have lots of one-night stands, you've had numerous sexual partners, are you satisfied in life? Are you sexually satisfied? The answers would be overwhelmingly no. God's ways work. It's so simple. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jason, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
God bless you, sir. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Great. I just actually called first to encourage you to continue to do what you do because I love the show, and also to weigh in on the subject how that sexual immorality, it gets worse and worse when you don't have foundation in the Word of God. You know, I grew up in the church, and it was just not really being taught to really lean and depend on the Word of God and let that be your foundation and let that be the source that drives that demonic source away, and knowing who you are and your authority in Jesus, it weighs on you and it just gets worse. You know, you begin to entertain things you know you would never do, and you try to figure out where is it coming from, and then you realize who you are in Jesus Christ to actually really just humbling and submitting yourself, and you see how his tactics, the enemy's tactics, just to take you out and to try to blind you, think you can find gratification and sex and those things, because we know it ain't just sex. It leads to other things. It can lead to people to start stealing, or you can lead to drugs, and it's like you're just trying to fill a void, which those things will never fill. But that void could only be filled by Jesus Christ. So, again, I just want to say to anyone who's struggling in that area, lean and depend on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his word, and it is true. It will deliver you, and you will have to be ashamed. Like that lady said earlier, you know, the self-esteem issue, I think men deal with that too, trying to fit in with the guys, you know, you're going to be the guy. And so I just want to say to anybody, just lean and depend on our Lord and Savior, because it's true. If you really seek deliverance, he will deliver you. If you need to be made whole, he will make you whole. And so, like I said, I love the show. I just praise God for you. Continue to address the issues that you do, sir. And I'll be continuing praying for you as well. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, bless you, Jason. Thank you for the words of encouragement and for speaking the truth. We've got to wake up, friends. We've got to wake up to reality, because what is being presented around us is simply a myth. What's being presented to us is a lie. Here, look. You're going to a grocery store to check out. You just got some groceries. You're a guy, and you glance down, and there's some seductive-looking woman. She's scantily clad, and she's smiling. She's not smiling at you, sir. She's not smiling at you, and she doesn't want to go to bed with you. Oh, but that's what that image says. And now people can go home, and they can get on their computer, and they can get in some chat room, and they can tell some girl to do a particular thing, and she's stripping down, and who knows what else she's doing, and you're paying for this, and you're getting all excited. First, you want the whole world to watch you do that, sir? Would you like your coworkers or your spouse or your kids to see what you're doing? How would you feel about that? Or would that be a little humiliating? Okay, let's turn that around. That's somebody's daughter there. How would you like that to be your daughter? Maybe she's 6 now. How would you like her to be 16 or 18 or 26, taking her clothes off and performing sexual acts as someone's telling her what to do and paying her? The new type of prostitution that's out there. It's humiliating. It's ugly. It's destructive. But that's what these things do. We need to take the glimmer off. We need to expose the lies and the corruption and say that the ways of the flesh are destructive. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, Steve in Alberta, Canada, stay there. I want to talk to you in a moment, okay? As I want to make sure I get to your call, as you're calling about some new legislation. I want to make sure I get to your call, so stay right there. Let's go to Texas. Matt, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, man, this is my first time tuning in. I just happened to be listening to the station, and I figured it would be wrong for me not to share, because I will say that porn is probably one of the biggest things that was, or the biggest contributor to why my marriage came to an end. And I didn't know it at the time. Like you were saying, that wine, you know, it looks so good, but in time, it starts to affect everything else. And, you know, it kind of destroyed my marriage before it even started, because I was stuck in that addiction for a while. And it just warps your whole view of women in general, and you start to just not even see them as people. Like you were just saying, like, what if that were your daughter? What if that, you know, what if you knew this person personally? And, but yeah, like Jason was saying, you know, God can heal you of that, and he's the only thing that can change you. You know, his word says that if you confess your sins to one another, you know, that you will be healed. And thankfully for me, that is what happened.
Thank God.
Still praying for restoration in my marriage. But, you know, you may not think that it's really doing any harm because nobody sees it. You know, it's just you behind closed doors, but it changes you, and and what happens inwardly will affect what happens to other people around you outwardly, even though you may not realize it at the time.
Matt, we're just out of time here with the break. Every word you said is so powerful. And Father, we pray for Matt that you'd restore the relationship with his wife, that you'd bring complete healing there, and others would heed the words of warning that he gave. Thanks for listening and calling.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Nikki Morgan. Nikki Morgan in UK. She is Education Secretary. She says all school children must be taught to navigate modern social issues brought on by the internet age. This is TheGuardian.com, March 10th, so just yesterday. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about the ways of the flesh don't pay. We're talking about the addictions of the flesh. They may appeal. They may feel good. They ultimately bite and destroy. And you've got reality TV shows with new dating. You've got now reality TV shows that are going to celebrate adultery. You've got reality TV shows celebrating polyamory and every other kind of thing. You know, where you sleep with this one, sleep with that one, and pick who you want. It's just descending further into sexual anarchy, and people think, well, that's if you're not doing that, then you are really deprived. No, you live. You have life when you don't do those things and instead give yourself to God's ways. All school children must be taught a curriculum for life that helps them deal with modern issues such as sexting and revenge porn. Okay, I grew up in the 60s, born in 55. In fact, next Monday, God willing, is my 60th birthday. It is my 60th birthday, God willing. I'll be here to enjoy it with everybody. But, you know, the 60s, that was a rough time. I mean, there was a lot of rebellion, a lot of sin, the counterculture revolution, the sexual revolution, the radical feminism, gay liberation, different things going on, a lot of societal upheaval taking place there. Without a doubt. But we didn't have anything like sexting, revenge porn. And young people are growing up with this. My, oh, my. 866-34-TRUTH. In Fort Worth, Texas, Leah, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hello. God bless you.
God bless you.
I'm an alcoholic. I would suggest that no one ever take a glass of alcohol because it's like roulette. I didn't drink until I was 40, and I used to look back at alcoholics and think, why don't they just quit? And Jesus is the only way. I had about three and a half years sober and thought I could have another one, just one, and found myself in 5 years of abuse. I've been in the hospital. I have... it's affected my spiritual relationship with my Heavenly Father horribly. He never left me, thank God. And nearly died 3 times at Christmas, on Christmas Day, in the hospital. I've been drugged up and been through rehab. But the only way out is to not drink alcohol and to completely rely upon my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ, God and the Holy Spirit. And this time I had a miracle. I've had no DTs. I did not have any nightmares. I didn't nearly die. My blood pressure did not go high. And I'd appreciate prayers that it stays that way, but please, people, don't drink. Because the only way to find out that you're an alcoholic is to have one. That's all it takes. And one is never enough.
Yeah. What a warning. Thank God you've had a breakthrough. Thank God. And you know you just can never touch it. Look, I got saved a little over 43 years ago and never had a drink since. Now, I was not an alcoholic. I did drink heavily at times. I was addicted to drugs, especially the needle. But you understand, you don't play with it. I'm not going to judge someone. Maybe they grew up in Europe and they've had a glass of wine with a meal a lot of their life. They've never been drunk once. Hey, that's between them and God. But for example, I made a radical lifestyle change with food and diet a little over 6 months ago. So my mentality is I'm a recovering food addict. So I'm not going to play games because you never know. You open the door once and then, you know, it's just, well, just one time. And then it's a month later, then it's a week later, then it's every day, and then you're bound. So by God's grace, press in. A solid relationship with your Heavenly Father is so precious. And you know it's not worth tampering with. Hear this warning from Leah. And in Jesus there is freedom. In Jesus you can be free, and you become a former alcoholic because you just don't touch it. It's not part of your life. A former drug addict, a former sex addict, there is freedom in Jesus. And if you're in a point of desperation, cry out with all your heart. He knows how to deliver. Thank you for the call. May God keep you strong and full of life. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let's go to Alberta, Canada. Steve, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
It's my first time calling. I've been listening to you for a couple of years, and you've really influenced my thinking on a number of issues. I just heard you mention the new legislation that was passed by our so-called conservative party here in Alberta, Canada, about making gay-straight alliances mandatory. I don't know a whole lot about the bill, but my question really is, what advice do you have for a Christian that lives in a culture that's basically rejected what the Bible teaches? Do you focus on changing people's minds one-on-one, or what's the best way to reach out and resist when you're afraid of being called a hater?
Yeah, Steve, first, thank you for the call, and I'm so glad that I've been able to be of help. Just driving to the studio today, I was praying and thanking God for the platform he's given me to speak on radio. I take it so seriously, and in other venues. So, and even when you quote, reach out, resist, reach out to the gay and lesbian community with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. It's what we've been following for over 10 years now in principle. So these gay-straight alliances, these will be in American terms, middle school as well as high school. So kids that could be, 12, 13 years old, even younger, they'll be able to come out to their peers. They'll be encouraged at times when their sexual identity is just developing and they're very uncertain about who they are. They'll be encouraged to try homosexuality or things like that, or they'll be affirmed, hey, if you feel this way, this is who you are. They won't even have to tell their parents. They can come out to their peers and to faculty advisors. At least that's how GSAs are in America. And to now make this mandatory in all schools in Alberta, one political leader said, we're no longer that redneck, roughneck province. Yuck. Oh, yeah. So we are enlightened. The best thing to do is, number one, get involved. If your kids are in a public school, get involved. If you can homeschool them or get them in private school, do it. But otherwise, get involved in the school. Make sure that there are Christian clubs. There's some healthy alternative for kids. If they're going to allow the one, press that they allow the other. If they don't, one-on-one, share the gospel. That's still the number one thing. Share the gospel. And then speak out. Write a letter to your local newspaper. Talk to other folks in your church and say, hey, we've got to make our voices heard. Let the politicians know that they've lost your vote because of this severe moral compromise. And just understand, just keep plugging away, doing what's right. This is all part of the larger sexual anarchy of the culture, Steve, and it will absolutely fail. God's ways will last. Keep us posted on things from Alberta, please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. What do you do when society is caving in around you? What do you do when immorality is celebrated? What do you do when promiscuity is celebrated? You stand for what's right. You stand for what's right. You live counterculture lives. You swim against the tide. You go against the grain. You don't bow down to decadence. You make determinations in your private life as a family to say no to the uncleanness, to say no to the ungodliness. Look, for some years, when I used to, I travel constantly now, but for some years when I was traveling, we didn't have a TV in our home by choice. As we were raising our kids for a good period of their lives, we didn't have a TV at home. We'd have a monitor that we could watch some videos on if we wanted, but we just thought better not to have TV. And the kids grew up fine, well-adjusted. They're fine mothers and wives today. But when I'd be traveling, TV'd be there, and there's always trash in hotels, and we would tell them for years when I travel, please remove the TV from the room. That's what we tell them before we, please remove the TV. I just didn't want it there. I didn't want to be bothered with it. Now I'm around big screen TVs all the time. I'm traveling and whatever. It's just, okay, I'm not going to watch something unclean or wrong. End of subject. But if I had to inconvenience the hotel a little bit, I was going to do it, especially if they had all kinds of junk that could just be watched freely on there. It's like I didn't go there to be exposed to that. Maybe I just want to, you know, unwind after a long day of speaking and ministering. I'm just going to unwind, watch a little sports. Okay, I'd like to watch that without all the other trash. And I thought, hey, better just not even to turn it on. But you make choices, daily little choices, big choices, choices as to who you vote for, choices as to what entertainment you participate in, choices as to how you live your life as counterculture people. And ultimately, people will come to us and say, you're blessed, you're happy, you're fulfilled, I'm not. What's wrong? And following Jesus is not just a matter of being happy and fulfilled, but the fact is, when God blesses relationships, they're blessed. And when you do it the world's way, they're not blessed. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Linda in Gastonia, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I, like your earlier caller, basically was a product of the 60s and sex revolution, whatever, you know, feminism, all that. Oh, women are equal to men. They can do it all. They don't have to be married. They can have sex with whoever they want. And it's so destructive to a person's self-worth, especially, I don't know about, I can't speak about a man's self-worth, but I know as far as a woman's concerned, you end up feeling very used. I mean, my husband, who was 14 years older than me, basically like a father figure, took me down a road of just depravity. I mean, we were both in the Army at the time, and he had lesbians who were in his unit, and his fantasy was to have two women, you know, having a threesome, and he figured, oh, a lesbian, she'll want to have sex with my wife, you know, and inviting them over, and all this horrible stuff that made me feel so dirty, and I don't know if you're familiar with the term cultural Marxism, but I have read about it recently, and it's made me realize that we are just really have been puppets in this cultural Marxism that's brought about things like the homosexual agenda. It's all based on the Frankfurt School of Marxists who are trying to tear down Christian values and basically tear down society. And rebuild it the way they want it. And they know that the way to do that, since economically it didn't work, they do it culturally by destroying the family, by making kids, reject their parents' values. And that's why it's permeated Hollywood. It's permeated academia in our...
Yeah, and let me just say this real quick. Thanks for sharing such an intimate, difficult story. But it's the way of the world, for sure. It's the way of the flesh.
Fire we please. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, it's so exciting if you'll just do this. Oh, you Christians are so old-fashioned. Oh, you are so outdated. Oh, you don't know what you're missing. Ah, quite the contrary. We know what didn't pay. We know what was destructive. Many of us lived those lies. Look, as a teenager, ages 14 to 16, I indulged the flesh every way I knew how, especially with drugs. Especially with drugs. That's why I was called Drug Bear and Iron Man. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And I got very high, and I loved getting high. I loved getting high and playing with my band. I loved getting high, playing with my band, getting high and going to rock concerts, or just getting high. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I didn't die of an overdose. I didn't have a lot of friends at that time die of overdoses. I never got arrested and put in jail. I didn't feel the full effects of my sin. But this much is clear. It was destroying my life. It was destroying my life. That you can play the game, you can have the fun, you can have the exhilaration, but ultimately it is self-destructive. Yeah, years later, one of my friends traveling with me just noticed my skin color looked funny. I looked yellow. And my wife Nancy's like, "Something's funny. You don't look right." I got tested, found out this is many years later. I had hepatitis C, which is ultimately deadly. And the students in our school of ministry, Brown's Revival School of Ministry, which is now Fire School of Ministry, they really prayed and they really felt that God broke through. I remember meeting with my doctor, a Christian doctor, and he had all these pages printed out so I would know what I was dealing with and the perils of this and so on. And he said, "Yeah, it can be dormant in you for years and years and years and years. It can be dormant, and then, you know, or it just takes whatever time to manifest itself, and it goes back to your drug use, you know, many, many years earlier." God healed me, completely healed me. When we did the test afterwards, the doctor had me do the thorough test, and he was thrilled beyond words. He said, "No, this doesn't happen. You don't test for it, and then it disappears." God had mercy. But even without that, I was destroying my life. I was morally on a serious decline. I watched with my own eyes the moral descent. I watched my standards going down, especially as I was shooting heroin. And I thought, wow, you're becoming a different person. But yeah, well, I like doing heroin. Crazy. Broke into houses. I crazy stuff. I think of doing it. So how did I do that? And, you know, it's just crazy. Great upbringing. This never should have been in my life at all. And then my dad, who was very liberal, and said, I remember him telling me that he believed that the day would come when marijuana would be legal. I remember him telling me this is in the late 60s, you know, early 70s. He had warned me, you know, be careful when you go to, you know, now you're in high school and someone may offer you this, or be careful. And he wasn't talking about cigarettes. He was talking about pot. But I remember when he knew I was getting high, he thought, okay, if you're going to smoke pot, better to smoke it in the house than out in the street and get caught. That was actually his attitude. He was that liberal in his thinking. But I remember him getting upset with me and saying, you become a pothead. You become a pothead. He could just see what was happening in my life. I was destroying myself, and I was only 16 years old, shooting heroin at 15. But I indulged the flesh. I got very high. I had unbelievable experiences. And when I met the Lord, I left that stuff like I had been drinking mud. I left that stuff like I had been eating dog food. When I encountered the excellencies of the Lord Jesus and the extraordinary love of God, coupled with the deep conviction of sin the Holy Spirit had brought me under, I ran from that stuff. It is the same thing with sexual sin. Those of you who were promiscuous, you can testify to it, as caller after caller has, and you do things God's way. When you're in godly relationships, Nancy and I on Saturday celebrate 39 years of marriage. She's my best friend. leaving the house today, I just was telling her how absolutely gorgeous she is. We have a wonderful relationship, a satisfying relationship, a joyful relationship, a godly, productive relationship. That's the way God intended it. That's the way he intended it, not the ways of the world. Tali in Dallas, just to answer your question as I'm looking at it here on the screen, students laid hands on me and prayed. In a mentoring group I had, they laid hands on me and prayed for healing, probably a couple times, but I remember one distinct time, and one of the women in the class really felt convinced that God had touched me. And when I had tests subsequent to that, it's when the hepatitis C was no longer there. But it was demonstrated that I had it, and now I no longer had it. So I didn't have anyone that I knew of, you know, with the gift of healing, or it wasn't even on my end that I was really, I gave my life over to God. I believed he wanted me to live a long life in service for him unless I was called to be martyred and that I wasn't to die of this disease. But I don't feel like I had a great prayer breakthrough personally. I felt there was others who laid hands on me and prayed, and that's when the breakthrough came. And I would say I do remember specifically a group of students in my third year mentoring group that I shared this with and that prayed for me, because I didn't really announce it that loudly. But Tali, thank you for asking the question. I appreciate it. Let's go to Robert in Dallas, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Robert. Are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling because today, tomorrow, my wife will be leaving to go to her mother's house. But the reason I'm calling is we've been married 28 years, and she's asked me for a divorce, and I just recently found out that she's singing. She's been talking to some guy up in Ohio, but now I've been praying and praying about it, and now she's thinking about maybe not leaving us, but she's still going to go to Ohio to see her mother, but the person she's been talking on the phone with is like 3 miles from her mother's house.
Yeah.
Old boyfriend. And now I'm supposed to just be confident that she's not going to go see him, I've been praying, and all I can do is pray to God. That's all I can do. And for her, you know, as a Christian woman, this is just not her. And I was told my kids said she's not acting right. So it's some demon, and I don't know what it is, but my wife has never been like this, but now I've been praying, and I just want to know, what can I do, Doctor? What can I do?
Yeah, Robert, this is so painful to hear. Having been married now almost 39 years, I can fully understand the shock. I mean, I can't imagine personally, but the agony. And did she meet this guy on Facebook, or do you know how they reconnected?
No, sir. She went back home in November for 3 days because her aunt passed away. Well, apparently she met up. It's an old high school boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they met at the funeral, and they exchanged numbers, and now they've been talking ever since November. And I had
no idea.
They didn't know it was going on, but.
All right, Robert. Yeah, here's what you can do first. I know it's going to be very rough if she's away, but I personally wouldn't believe it when someone says, you know, they're traveling all the way from Texas to Ohio, and that the person is there and they're not going to see them. I mean, that's real suspect, because if it was you and you were being questioned by your wife, right, to prove that you weren't going to see the person, you just stay home. You would say, okay, I won't visit my mom in Ohio. I'll wait to do that. Or we'll fly her down if she can travel, whatever. So it'd be very suspect. But what you got to do is you got to pray. Your kids got to pray like crazy. And I'm going to call on our listeners right now. We're going to pray before you get off the air that the Holy Spirit will convict her, that the Holy Spirit will make her so miserable that she can't even think clearly, that she'll come under such deep conviction of sin. And then you have to say, God, I want to be the best husband I can be. Any way where I haven't been what my wife's needed me to be, here I am. So it's always, you always pray for yourself as well. And then you just tell her, listen, you mean more to me than anything in this world. We've built a family together. We've built a life together. And there's got to, it's like you come under a spell, and the person's not themselves, but God can break that spell. So listen, we've we're coming up to a break, so I want to devote this time to prayer, all right? Friends, put yourself in Robert's shoes, whether you're male or female. Put yourself in Robert's shoes, and let's pray. God, deliver Robert's wife from the snare of the enemy. Do whatever you must do to save this woman from disaster and immorality and to preserve this marriage. Turn up the heat of your Holy Spirit in conviction. Put divine obstacles in the way that she knows that she's fighting against God. Turn the heart of this man away from her. Turn the heart of Robert to his wife and his wife to him more wonderfully than ever. May the years ahead be more wonderful than the years thus far. God, all-powerful God, we're asking you to do it in Jesus' name.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Boy, don't play games with sin. Can I just give you a few principles? I taught this in my last class, in my holiness class. If you're a torchbearer, if you're a monthly supporter, remember you have free access to our online classes, which means you can watch the entire 8-week class that I did, about 16 hours of teaching on holiness, class on revival, class on Jewish roots, all for free if you're one of our monthly supporters, helping us with a dollar more per day, $30 or more per month. As a torchbearer, that's one of the perks, one of the benefits that we can share with you. We have some audio classes you get to listen to free, as well as these video classes as many times as you want to go through them. But as I taught on holiness again, just finished with a new class, first and second year class at Fire School of Ministry, I just kind of summed up with four key things to help each one live a holy life. First, and the order could have been any four of these, could have been first, but as I taught it last night, understand who you are in Jesus. Understand forgiveness. Understand the love of the Father. Understand that you're an overcomer. Understand that you're a saint, not a sinner. Understand the power of God's grace at work in you, and that you've died to sin and it's no longer for you. And then second, understand that God is holy and that holiness is beautiful. The world equates holiness with deprivation, legalism. Much of the church equates holiness with deprivation, legalism. But true holiness is beautiful. True holiness is truly freeing. I'm free now. I wasn't free when I was doing drugs. If you're in a blessed marital relationship, you're free now. You weren't free when you were sleeping around with everybody. If you used to be an alcoholic and now you haven't had a drink in decades, you're free now. You weren't free then. Holiness is beautiful. Third, don't play games with sin. Don't play games. Oh, it's a cute little cobra. No, it's not a cute little cobra. Cobras are deadly. You don't play games with sin. There's a rattlesnake in the baby's room. Isn't that cute? No. Rattlesnake's killer. Rattlesnake's deadly. You don't play games with sin. Don't give it an inch. If it's ugly, if it's destructive, don't give it an inch. And then lastly, build yourself up in God, that the strength of your relationship with God is going to make a massive difference, that in so many ways, being strong in the Lord is the greatest antidote of all. Having a great, close, intimate relationship with Jesus is the key to everything. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tanya in St. Augustine, Florida. I was going to go there, but I'm not. I wanted to get to this. Let me try to do it quickly. We've talked about the outrage at Planet Fitness, where a man who identifies as a woman was allowed to use the woman's locker room. When a woman complained about it, she lost her membership for complaining about it. So I've urged people to go to Planet Fitness and politely say, please limit women's locker rooms to biological females and men's locker rooms to biological males. Nancy posted this on Facebook. She said, I just canceled my membership at Planet Fitness. The person working there said it would have been illegal for them to have prevented Carlotta, this is a man who identifies as a woman, from using the women's dressing room. He said it would go against anti-discrimination laws, not just in that location, but anywhere in the USA. Is this true? And if it is, does that mean that there is no gym anywhere where a woman can feel safe knowing a man isn't going to come in and she is dressing? Is the only thing keeping this from happening everywhere just societal acceptance? Well, the biggest thing stopping this madness from happening is societal acceptance. That if society just says, no. Isn't it, the locker rooms are not gender neutral. No, a man cannot use the ladies' room. No. That's not going to happen. We don't accept, we're not going along with that. We're not making, as thankfully the city of Charlotte declared a little over a week ago, we're not going to make the bathrooms and locker rooms, public facilities, gender neutral to accommodate those that we care about who struggle with gender identity disorders and issues and gender dysphoria, as it's called. We're going to try to help them, but not by transforming the society into a place with no privacy and social and moral madness. No, that's not going to happen. There's more and more pushback against that in different parts of the country. And there are plenty of gyms that say, no, you cannot just come in and change. If you're a woman in the woman's locker room and a man comes in, he's a biological male, and he's got his, quote, plumbing, he's a biological male, but he dresses as a woman. No, he should not be allowed in the ladies' locker room. Where does he go? Well, he may have to change at home. Or if a gym says that we've got to cater to everyone, you know, no matter who the person is or what they feel, then you have numerous single, you know, stall dressing rooms or whatever you want to call it. This is not the law across America. This is Planet Fitness's interpretation of it. And a law against discrimination based on gender identity would mean that if it did exist, that if a man comes to your job and he's obviously a biological male, but he identifies as a woman and maybe he is legally now changed his identity to a woman and he wants to be able to work there at the grocery store, at the checkout counter, or as a receptionist at the dentist, that you couldn't say no based on that. That would be a potential challenge to discrimination laws based on, quote, gender identity, which then gets crazy. So here's obviously a biological male who sounds like a man and talks like a man, and he's going to teach at nursery school, and he said it's confusing for the kids. You should be able to decline that. It's not discriminatory. You don't want to discriminate against the kids. But to say they get to use the locker room, no, that's not what the law is about. It's a misinterpretation of it, and it's certainly not the law across America. I have an article that'll be coming out tonight. So if you're looking tonight, after 8 o'clock, it should be up on the WorldNet Daily site, the opinion column, my weekly article for them. On the year of pushback continues. I talk about what happened in Charlotte, North Carolina, but then I talk about what's happening in different parts of the country as radical activists overplay their hand, as the bullying backfires, as things go too far, which brings me back to my subject matter today. Sexual anarchy is going to lose in the end. Sexual purity is going to win out. Long-term committed relationships are going to win out. It's just the way it works, that sexual anarchy is self-defeating, and that gay activism is part of the larger sexual revolution, not part of the civil rights movement, an extension of the civil rights movement, this extension of the sexual revolution, which is self-defeating. Well, I don't mean that America is turning moral and godly overnight, but I mean that the ways of the flesh are ultimately destructive and the ways of godliness and purity ultimately win out. South Carolina College denounces homosexuality after two volleyball players come out as gay. They are a Christian academic community liberal arts college, but with the associate Reformed Presbyterian tradition. And they're getting blasted for saying, yeah, we hold to Christian values. It identifies as a Christian-based school. Give these things time, friends. As discouraging as so much looks, there will be a turn, especially if God's people will wake up and pray and seek the face of God. Please be sure to visit the website. Thousands of hours of free resources and a tremendous resource offer this week. Very important. Check it out and stand with us. We are listener supported. Your support makes a massive difference. My bottom line today, the things that are lasting, the things that are worthwhile, the things that bring endless joy and peace, they're all the things of God.